There are goals that are set for women and for people of color. They're not set exactly the same way, but the concept is to ensure that people with disabilities get the same sort of affirmative action protections that are afforded women and people of color. So that's clearly, clearly very important. The 7% is part of a range. The range is 4 to 10%. 7% is the goal. That 7% is based in part on ACS, American Community Survey data, which shows if you were to look across certain categories that about 5.7% is it would be the right goal for people with disabilities. Now, on top of that, though, because there is such a serious, serious unemployment and underemployment problem with respect to employment of people with disabilities, and I'm sure you know this, that really only 20% of people with disabilities participate in the labor force, and their unemployment rate is 1.5 times that of the general population. We also looked at the discouraged worker percentage, which is approximately 1.7%. But the idea is that this is a goal, and it's an aspirational goal upon, and we want comments for it. We also want comments on the sub-goal for people with targeted disabilities, because it's really important that if we're going to enforce affirmative action, we do it across the board for people with all sorts of disabilities.
And when you talk about the population and the unemployment rate of the disabilities, mm-hmm. the people with disabilities, you're referring to those that can work.
Those that are in the workforce, yes.
Because not everyone disabled can work, unfortunately.
Well, we don't even know what that number is, and I suspect that there may be some, but we don't
sure.
really know. And part of what's really, I think, a game changer is the data collection component of this regulation, because it's the first time that we're really looking to establish real numbers in terms of people who are applicants and people who we've done, contractors have done outreach to, how many people actually work in the workplace, which is why the both pre-offer and post-offer invitation to identify as a person with a disability is a very important component of this rule. It's obviously not something that's required, and under the ADA, as part of an affirmative action plan, it is totally legal to ask somebody post-employment, post-offer, whether they are a person with a disability. But in order to increase awareness of people with disabilities and to change the culture of the workplace, we thought it was also important to at least offer to applicants the opportunity to disclose their disability.
Is there a specific definition for what a disability is and how that would fall under this particular rule?
Yes, there is. One of the things this proposed rule does is it incorporates the ADAAA definition of disability, which is quite broad, which again illustrates the importance of commenting on the sub-goal, because really, I suspect, and I don't know, because we don't know with all the data that we have, there are limitations on the data, but I would suspect that the number of people with disabilities in the workplace far exceeds the 7.4%. If you were to look at the broad definition of disability under the ADA, it covers the range from cancer to epilepsy to people in with targeted disabilities, which tend to be the more severe disabilities, but also people with depression, anxiety, diabetes, high blood pressure. It's quite broad. And so really the purpose of this regulation was beginning to set the goal. The goal in itself is important in terms of elevating the importance of the rights of civil rights of people with disabilities to that which is on par for race and gender.
We're speaking with Patricia Hsu. She is director of the Labor Department's Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. Now, the proposed rule does impose requirements on contractors, especially in the data gathering area and in the ability to be able to report their progress. Who's going to collect that information, and what will the meaning of it be if someone fails to meet the goal? Will that count against them in getting contracts? And conversely, if they meet or exceed the goal, will that help them get federal contracts?
It's the important part, and there are many components to the rule. The goal is a means to an end. It is the outreach. It is the recruitment. It is the data collection. It is the creation and dissemination of policies that make it clear that people with disabilities have rights in the workplace and how they can implement those rights, that are all pieces of this regulation. So what we're trying to do is help contractors do a self-analysis and see where they have fallen short in the process. Was it outreach? Was it recruitment? Was it the hiring process? Was it retention? So they'll be able to establish metrics to see where they are in their own success and the progress they have made with respect to each of those stages. That's what OFCCP is going to be looking at. We're looking at the whole ball game. We're not just looking at whether a contractor met the goal. It's what are the steps that have led to that. Sometimes it may lead to slower progress or greater progress, but then we will be able to hone in and refine what exactly is the problem here. For those contractors that do nothing, because these are requirements under the regulations, yes, they will be subject to violations. And yes, in some cases, in the most egregious cases, we will be seeking to debar them, as we do in cases of race and gender. These are specific requirements. Now, the thing that's easier here, quite frankly, for contractors, is that there is a nationwide goal. Okay? So unlike in the race and sex context, where the contractors have to actually set the goal themselves based on the applicant pool data, we've set it for them. Okay? And we've set it for them, I think, in a very modest way and in an achievable way. Because what we want for business is we want business to know exactly what it is we expect of them and what we expect of them in order to get to that point.
One of the interesting things that you were listing was about the metrics and the measurement of this and showing results. All of the data and the bullet points that you were listing, I was sitting here thinking, that is going to be a lot of work. Is it as labor intensive as it sounds?
Well, many employers have to maintain this data anyway. If you are a federal contractor, you have signed a contract, you are getting a lucrative contract to produce or provide some sort of service, you are required to have an affirmative action plan if you have 50 employees and a $50,000 contract. It is really, really long overdue that we begin to ensure that people with disabilities get into the workplace.
So the next step now is for people to comment on the rule. It's put out there in the Federal Register. Now we've got roughly 60 days. That's the next step.
That's right. We've reached out to a lot of our stakeholders. We had an ANPRM. We've had listening sessions across the country talking to all sorts of stakeholders and have really put a lot of thought into this. And this proposed rule is what we believe is our best effort at trying to eradicate the discrimination against people with disabilities in a very systemic way. Because what gets measured gets done.